All right, hello again, and welcome to the week three of the One League to Rule Them All pod. We're going to do our week two recap. We're going to do some trophy talk and some other things. And first, I want to introduce who's here with me. Of course, Kamish Ben, owner of some crappy team, Tongue Punch Your Fart Box.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, all right. And then we're being hosted by a member of the league, Mr. John Detmer. And do you want to introduce your new team name?
Yes, I'm the proud owner of the Mahomosexuals.
Very nice.
It felt right and still does.
Yeah. Probably the top scorer of your team?
Yes.
Naming the team after the top scorer, that's a boss move, strong move.
He deserves it.
Yeah. So before we get into our normal segments, I just want to, real quick, this has got me, I've been thinking about this all week. Bitch made Matthew Berry. I hate that motherfucker, okay? And I just want to talk about this real quick with you guys, okay? Sunday morning, I'm not going to church, and I'm just sitting there. I'm watching the fantasy, ESPN Fantasy Now, all that bullshit, and they're breaking down everything, and they are so hard on for TJ Yeldon. And it is like, I texted some of my fraternity brothers. I was like, hey, Chris Thompson or TJ Yeldon, PPR league, and 3-0, they're all like Chris Thompson. Text them all individually. No, so I was like 3-0. Okay, good. These guys know football. They played collegiately. You know everything. And then I go 12:58, 2 minutes before game time, and I see a flex. Like, you know, who do you play as your flex? And there's eight players up on the board. And Matthew Berry is doing it, and he puts Chris Thompson at like number six. Puts TJ Yeldon as number one. TJ Yeldon going against New England. Motherfucker scores 8 points. So real quick. I know this is just a lot about my game, but one of the things that I also saw that pissed me off about Matthew Berry. No, come on. No, this is real. This is real. I hate him so much. He does a segment called, have you guys seen this? Friend, Mary, Chill.
Oh, yeah.
Heard it.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, that's so fucking stupid. Like, it's an internet-based thing. Do fuck, Mary, Kill. Like, we're all adults here.
On ESPN?
It's a Disney company, by the way.
Yeah, so. Okay, I don't care.
Probably not gonna fly.
No, I don't care. Do fuck, marry, kill. No broads play fantasy football besides Cozart. So, I mean, we're fine here. So I wanted to introduce, he did friend, marry, chill on the New England running backs, okay? Did you see what he did with this? Sony Michel, James White, and who's the third?
Rex Burkhead,
that's what it, and so he does friend, marry, chill, and we all know the rules. You have to do one for each and everything. What does he do? He friends all three of them. Okay? Ugh. I know. All right.
He is the Skip Bayless of fantasy football.
Thank you. All right. I guess that's all I wanted. I tried to have a little fun with it. But, you know, if we're all just going to shit on Matthew Berry, that's fine. So we'll just jump right into the week two recaps. And I hope you guys have opinions on this. I mean, I don't know. And let's start with the game between Clayton and Corbin. This was a game that we highlighted last time. It was 2-1-0 teams in the catcher's division, and it ended up being pretty close. Clayton's Sack Riders, 120. Corbin's Gaping Starfish, 109. So Clayton staying undefeated at 2-0. What did you guys see here? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'll kick things off here. First of all, much, much closer matchups this week than last. You know, I think last week our closest point differential was 40-some points, and this week we had three games, including this one, I believe, that was being essentially being decided by the Monday night game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about Corbin and his desperate plea to get to 2-0, you know, being the current Vendo holder. And I think going into this game, the Monday night game, Corbin actually had the lead on Clayton, correct?
I think so, yeah. And yeah. Then Clayton had Jordan Howard and Tyler Lockett.
Right, on. Yeah, exactly. And I think I remember Clayton saying, if they don't score me the points, they're going on the trade block. And they obviously got the job done for him. So good job to Clayton. He got the victory there. You know, obviously, again, Michael Thomas just had a huge, huge game, 30 points for him.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be a tough matchup all year long.
I think we have to say, Clayton, second best wide receiver starting combo in the league. Second best after me. And no, you're third. Don't make that face.
Who are your receivers?
Who are my receivers? I don't know. We're talking about Clayton right now.
Yeah.
But I know.
Clayton's are the best. Yeah.
Antonio Brown.
Yes. I've got Tyreek Hill and DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins is trash this year.
Oh, come on. I've got Adam Thielen in the flex, and I've got Juju Smith-Schuster on the bench.
Right, we forgot about your white wide receiver.
Yeah, so obviously the best. I don't know what we're arguing about here.
He almost ran a 4.6.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Tom thinks my team is the best. Okay, that's, we'll just leave it like that. Yeah, Tom and David Duke. I like this matchup. I think Corbin at this point is happy. Even though he lost, I do not sense the killer instinct from Corbin. I think he's playing not to lose. And I think that's been voiced in the chat as well. Corbin is merely playing to get the Vendo out of his house. And he's accomplishing that. You know, he's in the mid-range of the overall scores every week. And I think he's fine with that. So if he starts to get, like, two games under 500 or something, he'll start panicking. But I think Corbin lacks the killer instinct. And I think that's what made the difference. Clayton wanted it more.
He definitely did. And quick amends to last week. I think we mentioned the fact that Corbin is putting his home up on Airbnb. I think we mentioned $900 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually $900 a night. So, even better deal there. So if you get it between now and the end of the season, you're guaranteed to have the Vendo, staring at you, yep. You know, while you're in the kitchen. So,
yeah, just a plus. All right. Shall we move on then to the next week two matchup? Let's do the one between – let's do Ben's matchup here. Let's do the one between Ton Punch, Your Fart Box, and then Cozart's Team Boner Juice. This game, John, 106-68. This game, I mean, it was like a soccer game, basically. There were no scoring.
It's a little embarrassing. You feel for Team Boner Juice here, drafting David Johnson with high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a performance where you get under 50 rushing yards.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's going to be all year. Not because David Johnson doesn't have talent, but the Arizona Cardinals are absolutely terrible.
Well, his whole running back stable. I mean, David Johnson and LeSean McCoy? That's rough.
Oh, yeah.
If you would have told me that between David Johnson, LeSean McCoy, and Lamar Miller, his best running back would be Lamar Miller, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Cozart sucks. It does surprise me how bad he sucks, his team.
Right. And LeSean McCoy also got hurt in that game, so things aren't going to get any better.
Buffalo sucks.
Yeah, and if I can just put on my Stefania Bell hat for a little bit here.
Please do.
It's a costovertebral injury, so it's the cartilage around the ribs. It's just incredibly painful. And it's going to be lingering.
God, listen to that analysis, everyone.
Linger!
You're welcome. Yeah, stage five injury.
It's going to be the kind where they can bandage him up good enough and get him out on the field, and then he's just going to be miserable. So your punishment for not listening to this podcast is getting suckered into a trade for LeSean McCoy. But if you listen to this, don't trade him.
I like that. Cozart, put McCoy on the waiver, put him out on the trading block, shop him around. I like that idea.
I'd like to make a comment on my own behalf here.
Yeah, please do.
First of all, we're not playing against Cozart anymore. He has officially handed the reins off to his fiance Hannah. So, suck it, Hannah. I kicked your ass. I'm just a man of my word. You know, I do what I say. I say what I do. Last week on the podcast, I told y'all I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to give him a pounding. Hurricane Florence ain't got nothing on the tongue punchers.
Oh, my.
And what happened? You know, it was a beatdown. So, you know, I told you it was going to happen, and it happened. So that's just all there is to it.
Okay, I think we wrapped that one up with a bow. All right. Thank you, Ben. And then on to Mike's matchup last week, the Howie Felter Snatchers and Honey Badger Don't Care. This one, surprisingly close. I would say I played Mike week one, and he was underwhelming. This week, roared back with a vengeance. Probably the best bounce back performance. Roethlisberger obviously throwing the ball 60 times, and James Conner being a good stand in there for old Le'Veon. But surprisingly, Brandon coming in with a decent showing. What were your thoughts on this, Kamish?
Yeah, Brandon, no adjustments at all. We don't even know where he's at right now. Started Alshon Jeffrey again, took the zero. But like you mentioned, a pretty strong effort. This was another game that was coming down to the Monday night game. I think Mike was down by maybe 2 or 3 points with Allen Robinson yet to play. So fortunately, I think he got a couple catches on the first drive, which pretty much wrapped it up. But so there was something to be said there with Brandon at least standing up and showing a little fight there, mostly thanks to Travis Kelce. I know he had a big day.
Sure.
That Pittsburgh-Kansas City game was probably the biggest shootout of the week for week two. So Mike profited from Ben Roethlisberger being involved, and obviously Brandon did the same with Travis Kelce. So I can't really give Brandon any credit for it because I know they didn't do anything for it, but, you know, nice job, Mike. Good win, 141. Pretty good showing.
Mike, yep. You're welcome that my quarterback throws Travis Kelce dimes.
Oh, yeah, Mahomes.
You mean Brandon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Brandon. Sorry, Honey Badger. Yes. Brandon, you won't hear this, but you're welcome.
Okay, and then on to what was kind of a pedestrian matchup, if I do say so myself. The Mahomosexuals, John's Mahomosexuals versus Tom's Grundlenashers. This one was wrapped up pretty quickly. Ben, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think you put
this was a 50-point game.
Yeah, total wipeout, 136 to 85 in favor of the Mahomos. Sean, I believe last week you put Tommy on the Vendo watch, and I put John on the Vendo watch. So this was our week one Vendo watch matchup, and you seem to be on the right track there, considering Tom really, really stumbled. Obviously, the majority of his team, let's face it, are the Patriots. They were going up against a tough matchup there in Jacksonville.
No one would ever understand.
Exactly, you know, and there's some, you know, statistic, you can look it up on the internet, you know, stats and that kind of stuff, but something says that Bill Belichick and the Patriots, their record in September and October is drastically worse than what it is in, you know, the later November, December. So obviously an early season matchup for the Patriots, they don't usually perform quite as well. This is no exception here. Tommy's best scorer was actually Tom Brady with 16 points. Marvin Jones Jr. with 15. So just a pretty poor effort by Tommy. And, of course, the Mahomosexuals led by Mr. Mahomosexual himself. 38 points for Patrick Mahomes. And Gurley had a great game as well with 32 points. And John had to be feeling good after Thursday night getting 29. Actually, John was feeling good after Thursday, first quarter of the Thursday night game, having three touchdowns from A.J. Green there right off the bat. So
I think over the chat, I heard his sphincter unclench during that Thursday night game as the nightmare of the Vendo kind of washed away.
For sure. I actually have Sean to thank for A.J. Green's success. I believe if we remember back to our inaugural podcast, Sean called out A.J. Green as an old man and a liability in the wide receiver corps. And AJ's just got that chip on his shoulder now. It's
kind of okay, yeah, he heard me. AJ listens to this podcast, I think. Yeah, that's
for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to AJ. Okay, yeah, so good work there. And then speaking of what we said to each other in the draft day recap of the podcast, I was shitting on AJ Green, and John was talking about how the two picks that I made on auto draft because I lost Wi-Fi connection, Trey Burton and Chris Thompson, he was talking early before the first game about how they were going to be two of my best scorers. And what do you know, they are now in my starting lineup. And if I had just played them in week two, I would have won no sweat over Ethan's suicide wanks. But ended up, I was sweating all the way till Monday night, fourth quarter. Ended up winning by 5 points. So, John, besides I told you so, anything to say about Dingers v. Wank? Supreme Court decision, it sounds like.
No, it's really, I told you so pretty much sums it up. If you're looking for some consultation down the line, I could probably do that for a fee.
Yeah.
But consider it. Get back to me.
Ben, anything on my historic win?
Yeah, again, this is one of the featured matchups of the week, you know, both undefeated teams after week one, so feeling good.
Yeah, it was the most popular matchup in the chat.
It was the most exciting matchup, without a doubt. Again, came down to the Monday night game. Ethan had a pretty decent lead. I believe it was 14 points, because I specifically remember texting him saying, I can't wait to see the Bears D pick up, you know, 15 points on you or whatever it was needed to win. I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back here, because I think last week during our waiver wire segment, I highlighted the DVDAers picking up those Chicago Bears as a good pick. So, you know, I was right. Sean was right. We're all right. You know, Sean gets the W there. So That was pretty exciting, especially because late in the game, the Bears D had given up some points.
Mm-hmm.
You had turned to the point where you were going to lose, and then that pick six happened, and yeah. My goodness, did that turn the tide and lead you to victory. So, pretty exciting matchup there. Just a 5-point spread, closest game of the week.
I got to tell you, I'm not sure. I was so close. And through the third quarter, I had this roster baiting like half chub. Okay, because I didn't know if it was going to be worth it. I mean, because what's worse than like roster baiting the middle of the Monday night matchup and then you lose? That would be terrible. You know, so I would rather have blue balls. But as we went through fourth quarter, Prince Amukamara, thank you, my Nigerian prince. I will send you $35,000 through the email. Thank you so much, Amukamara-san. I guess that's Japanese, isn't it? That's all right. So that is our week 2 recap. Send in your thoughts on the chat if you have any more. But I think we will go on to a new segment that our commissioner wanted to bring up here. We're going to do some trophy talk. So the commissioner, as those of us at Draft Weekend saw, dropped a couple bills on this very nice trophy. And a stand and a trophy. It's led to a little bit more competitiveness in the league, I feel like, and a little bit of a carrot as well as the stick that is the Vindo. We are looking for a name for that beautiful thing, and we just kind of wanted to shop around some ideas for that tonight. Ben, this was your idea. It was your baby. It's your creation. So. Kind of start us off here.
I've got a couple names, got a couple ideas. I'd love to hear some other ones. You know, we're in no rush. I think our goal should be to have it named by the end of the season when it changes hands. I think that's a good goal for us. So I'll start off with a couple ones that I like. You guys, please throw your ideas in there too. Number one, we could just call it the apparatus,
and then holy we can just shit. Say,
don't touch the apparatus all weekend long. The champion could be yelling it. We know what that means. I think it's pretty strong, just coming right off the bat.
Holy shit. Now, John, I do have to ask.
I believe that's a nod to Milton.
Yes, okay. Did you have it in science class?
I never did.
Oh, okay. No. So okay. You know that from...
I've heard enough references, enough jokes to it, that it feels like I was there almost.
God bless you. Yeah. You know, really, God bless you. That's already at like a 9.7 on our 10-point scale here. So I'm very happy hearing that. Do you have any others that you want to?
I had three. Apparatus was my kind of the leader mm-hmm. of the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
You know, I was thinking something along the lines of, you know, maybe the magical hobo crystal or something like that. You know, we gotta maybe mix in our old friend the magical hobo. We could call it the soup cup, you know, the soup cup or something like that, you know. So
yes.
Well, I told you to go ahead and say something. I said first, and then you're going.
No, I wasn't. I'm not mad. I'm just. We've got a mind meld going on.
It's from when we all ran cross country together.
Yeah. No. Yeah, right. I know. John remembers. Come on.
Everyone that ran cross country.
That time we ran.
Yeah. Yeah. And never walked. So. The magical hobo crystal ball, magical hobo's crystal ball. I love it. The soup cup. Beautiful. You know, it's kind of got that thing. You know what? Jesus. Okay. You know what? Everybody, mull these over. These are some good ones. No, did you have another one?
I got one last one. Okay, one last one. I was just thinking, you know, we could just call it the Bob Milton Award of Excellence. You know.
No,
just,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Something like
the Milton. Yeah.
No, it's got to be the Bob Milton Award, Excellence Award, an achievement. Excellence achievement and award. All of it.
Okay.
Have we sent Milton a link to the podcast yet?
I don't think so.
I really don't. Could. I'm not ready to disappoint him at this moment. Yeah. I'm not sure if, even with all the natural peanut butter and colloidal minerals that he imbibes, I'm not sure if that would keep him alive through the shock of listening to this.
He's been disappointed pretty much since he's known us.
You know what? That's true. And the racism won't bother him. Last time I saw Bob Milton was at a talk about Christian conservatism and how we can take our country back from Sharia law. Swear to God. Swear to God. He talked to me 15 minutes about how Dearborn, Michigan has been taken over by the Muslims.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Oh,
I love Dearborn, Michigan, too. That was my favorite place.
Yeah, yeah. Like 25% Muslim. Actually, I ended up looking it up. Milton was right.
Of course he was. He's always right.
Yeah.
That's why our trophy will be named the Bob Milton Achievement of Excellence and Award.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys have heard some good suggestions. We've got the apparatus, You know what? It could be shortened to the apparatus, and with the longer name, it could be, you know, like the Stanley Cup in hockey is like the Lord Stanley's Cup of nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
And they just shorten it to Stanley Cup. So we could have, you know, the longer official name and then shorten it down to the apparatus. I like it all. So let's hear everyone's thoughts in the chat. This has been beautiful, honestly. I mean,
is it an official rule that you can only drink White Russians out of it? Or is it?
I don't think so. I think that's just more of a norm.
Yeah, okay. To be honest, so the story behind that, like a week before the draft this year, I just happened to be watching The Big Lebowski and kind of refreshed my memory of how much I love the White Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and went out and bought all the materials for it, and we decided that's what the champions were drinking. So,
beautiful.
But it is kind of an interesting thing because, you know, being here in Indiana, I think we talked about this on the other podcast, and we were all a lot less sober. You know, when you win the Indy 500, you drink milk. When you win one league to rule them all, you drink a White Russian. You know, obviously a dairy-based alcoholic beverage.
Sure, and there are so few.
Kind of matches up. So it's not an official thing, but I do think that every year we should have just one drink. You know, maybe Jägermeister and Red Bull next year, you know, yeah. or maybe...
I like that the winner, or the winners, maybe every year, a draft weekend, they should have to down a White Russian, though, just for the,
sure.
like, the dairy base.
There's no rules here.
Okay, but, yeah, and as well as, I think anyone who comes to draft weekend going forward should be able to drink from the crystal ball, from the apparatus, but throughout the year, only past winners. So it gives another incentive to coming to draft day.
No.
The exclusivity.
Yeah, so draft weekend, only winners, past winners, can drink.
Okay. I got shot down pretty hard there.
Yeah, because we talked about this, and we need to get back on track here. But, so right now, you know, Tommy is holding the to-be-named-later trophy. So if you go over to Tommy's house, he can pour you a drink from the crystal. You know, if he's got whiskey in there or water or whatever.
Okay.
He can pour you a drink. You can't drink directly from it. You can never drink directly from it.
Okay.
But right. You can be
your
poor.
Your first one would be gay if you drink directly from it and you haven't won the league.
No, I mean,
that's a fair punishment. Yeah.
So if you don't drink it.
It's already going to happen.
I can't think of anything worse.
Draft weekend, champions only, throughout the year. Whoever is most gracious, you know, he can pour drinks to whoever wants out of it. On to the next year.
I mean, that'll be fine.
Giving me some signs.
Get in there nice and deep, like, boy.
I mean, I'll cut that out. Don't worry, guys. All right, so that was some successful trophy talk. Let's go on to week three. Well, of course, we're recording here Thursday night in the first half of the Jets-Browns game. And we are there just... holding back from shouting out about what the fuck Carlos Hyde is doing constantly.
We're on a full-on Baker Mayfield watch right now.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Baker's got his Windows Surface out. He's studying up.
He is ready to go. Carlos Hyde's got 6 points.
He put a fresh headband on.
Right. Might actually engage the chin strap. So let's move on to our week three matchups, some of which are in full flux with one matchup in double digits scoring. Let's start with the ones that are not. Let's start at the bottom of the barrel, if I may. Honey Badger Don't Care versus Suicide Wank. So we've got Ethan, who is the highest scoring points for person in either division. Going up against the guy who has the second fewest, which is hilarious that he doesn't look at his lineup and he's only the second fewest. I mean, is there much to say here? Ethan's going to win, and I mean, that's just me. What do you guys?
Conventional wisdom would say that Ethan should win this matchup. I did notice that Ethan switched out quarterbacks this week. He's putting in Captain Kirk up in Minnesota instead of Drew Brees.
Good call.
I mean, the Vikings are playing Buffalo. Ethan probably won't listen to this before Sunday, or he might, but... Just my thought is, even though they've both been having a great year so far, Drew Brees is going up against Atlanta. They're going to score some points, so the Saints are going to have to be throwing. I could see a situation where the Vikings are up 28-0 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, and Kirk Cousins is just handing the ball off the rest of the game. So,
are you fucking QB shaming him in a week when he's playing against Honey Badger Don't Care?
I am.
A man whose shorthand is don't give a shit.
When you look at Honey Badger's lineup, Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson hasn't broken out yet. Could.
Not against Saquon, the Giants.
Saquon Barkley, he could go off for another 14 catches and 60 yards or whatever. Kareem Hunt has been silent all year. He could bust out. Obviously, he's going to start Alshon Jeffrey again.
Bad take.
I'm just saying, watch out, Ethan. This could be the week that the Honey Badger gets on the board.
Okay, well, that is what it is. Just horse shit. I mean, John, do you have any thoughts? Do you want to put any cream and cherry on this pile of shit?
I was with Ben on the fact that you want a part of this New Orleans-Atlanta shootout.
Oh, my God.
So I don't agree with the Kirk Cousins. Everything after that, I just couldn't disagree with more. And I think at some point he was just reading the roster and saying he's not going to play well.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've got a handle on the podcast.
Baker's on the phone.
Baker is on the phone.
Jesus Christ, moving on. All right, let's move on to, I mean, look, can we just highlight some Week 3 matchups here? We're going too long.
Yeah.
All right, so my highlight for the Week 3, and this is Ben's highlight as well, is the battle of the 1-1s in the catcher's division. It is the Mahomosexuals, owned by John, going up against Mike Kaley's Howie Felter Snatchers. And this, I think, the winner of this is we are going to see, well, these two teams, I think, are going to be battling for the playoff spot that is not taken by Clayton for the catcher's division. So you guys get me? There's two.
It's actually not true. Just so everyone knows, it is the winner of both divisions automatically in, and then it's the next two best matchups records. So last year we had
Fake news, guys.
Yeah, we had three participants in the playoffs from the pitcher's division and then one from the catcher's.
Gotcha.
Which was actually Brandon. For the love of God.
Holy shit.
Brandon made the playoffs last year, for those of you that may have forgotten that. Don't want to cash on him, but he at least made the playoffs. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. I think this is a good matchup here. You know, Mahomes and Roethlisberger going at it. Both of them have favorable defenses. I think they're both going to be in shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
I really like John's wide receivers versus Mike's wide receivers. I think Amari Cooper is kind of due for a little breakout. I think that Miami matchup is going to be good. But I actually would probably, even though John does have Todd Gurley, I think the combo of Ezekiel Elliott and James Conner, I would probably lean a little bit towards Mike on that. So I think it's going to be a pretty even matchup. It could come down to the wire for sure.
I'm saying this one goes down to the kickers. Okay, this one's going down. This one's going to tie somewhere in the 130s, possibly 140s. And we're going to go down to Jake Elliott against Indy versus Mason Crosby against Washington. And
Mason Crosby.
Yeah, ooh. He is the number one. He is the number one kicker at this point in the NFL.
For 2 weeks.
Oh, sure. Hey, DeSean Jackson's the number three wide receiver. Mike Evans, number four. Suck my dick, Ben. So, you know, I mean, numbers don't lie. That's all I'm saying. Am I wrong? Speaking of the Big Lebowski, yeah.
Look who's in the game. Baker has – he's strapped up. He's locked in. He's got a minute and 42 seconds, one timeout. He's on his opponent's 40, so he's got 60 yards to go. We got a West Virginia.
All right. So all this means is that Ben and John are unable to focus on the task at hand.
Let's go.
We're gonna go ahead and wrap this up.
No, okay.
Well, are we actually gonna talk about it?
In our matchup, I actually have a player in play right now being affected by Baker Mayfield. Jarvis Landry is about to get.
He's about to get
caught a pass right there.
Boom.
Yeah.
As we speak.
So okay.
Two more points for Jarvis.
Okay.
Targeted,
so I am right. Often. That John. Actually, I said this was going to tie, right? Anyway, yeah. Ben was wrong. That's the main point. Ben said this was going to go to Mike's running backs. This is actually Jarvis Landry is going to score 30 points in this game, and Ben's going to look like a fucking idiot.
He just hit a Joku.
Okay.
He's climbing. So I'd like to just go ahead and throw out a couple other things that are going on right now. Corbin's off to a great start over Hannah. you know, we highlighted last week, I think we both said that we really liked the pickup of Quincy Enunwa. He's having a pretty decent 7 points for him right now. And Isaiah Crowell, 2 touchdowns, 15 points. How about that? Was that a offensive lineman running the ball there? Didn't catch what happened, but okay, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I think we have to at least talk about our matchup here a little bit.
All right, John, you're the only one who's impartial here.
Right.
So
let me pull
Big Al in the Dingers. 2-0, leading the league with 2-0 and 302 total points for is myself, and really can't say enough good things about Big Al and the Dingers. But John, you gonna co-sign that, or are you gonna bring me back down to earth here?
Let's just break it down. Let's go position by position. I think the quarterback position is probably the most interesting matchup. Fitzmagic, we've seen this before from him. He's gone crazy. He throws 5 touchdowns. Next game, he throws 5 interceptions, and he's on the bench. I love the guy. He's hilarious to watch.
He's got swag. Interviews.
He's got swag. He's got a beard. He's a genius. It's, you know, it's all
Harvard man.
That's right.
On the tongue punch side of things, Carson Wentz might be the most intriguing player to watch this week. Coming off of ACL, he also had LCL. It was a more complex knee injury than just a straight ACL, so I think they were trying to take some time with him. But against our Indianapolis Colts, so it's going to be kind of hard to watch if he ends up lighting us up. Certainly has that potential. He's got a good team behind him.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde off to a pretty pedestrian start. It's first half's almost over. He's got 6 points.
He's going to get a touchdown right here.
We'll see. It's turning into the Baker Mayfield show. We'll see much more Carlos Hyde. If you look at Melvin Gordon, he's having a great year. Chris Thompson's having a great PPR year.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Clement is a...
bitch made.
It's hard to get excited about Corey Clement. Though he is playing the Indianapolis Colts, as much as I love him.
Ben has handcuffed one of the most dog shit running back stables in the NFC in Philadelphia. And I just want to give a shout out to him for being retarded.
Landry with a catch.
Another catch. He can't be stopped. So we're looking at wide receiver matchups.
Again, Hopkins, number one in the league. DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster on the bench, Devin Funchess on the bench, DeSean Jackson, number 3, position rank on the bench, up against Ben's admittedly good bronze medal wide receiver stable of Devontae Adams and Mike Evans. I mean, this is gonna be a high scoring wide receiver matchup.
So for McAvoy, I saw that DeAndre Hopkins has a question mark or a questionable tag.
Yeah,
so I went to click on it. Turns out it's his thumb. But it's also his ankle. But it's also his hamstring.
Yeah, but what so I'm going to have to be forced to play Juju against Tampa Bay? The horror. He's like top 10. He's like number 7 positional rank. He'll be fine.
But you can't brag on DeAndre and then play Juju.
Well, okay. Well, when I win, I'm going to be dragging my balls across this mic in the week 3 recap. So I think we'll be fine.
Well, Tyreek's going to catch 5 touchdowns from Mr. Mahomosexual, so
you may
have the edge there.
You couldn't be more right.
Ooh, this is interesting. So then Ben having Mike Evans sort of negates some of the Ryan Fitzpatrick potential there. I like the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If we look down to tight ends, Trey Burton against Arizona, it should be a favorable matchup. Arizona's just a dog shit squad.
Yeah.
George Kittle, people are hyping him up. As much as they hyped up, you know, San Francisco as a whole and really just... Yeah, anyway, that's not that interesting of a matchup there. Tight ends don't matter.
Thank you.
Flex position, Adam Thielen. He was a big scorer last week. We shall see if Ben is right and Minnesota gets out to an early lead. Thielen might have a quiet night. Marquise Goodwin. I have nothing to say about Marquise Goodwin. I just don't care about him.
Yes, thank
moving
you.
Moving on to defense and kickers. Yeah, kickers you can't analyze. It's mostly luck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Bears defense versus Ravens defense. Bears versus Arizona. That's going to be a show.
Thank you.
I'm going to say there is 7 sacks.
Yeah, there were 6 last week.
I think that's realistic. If you set the over-under at 7, I would take the over.
Damn.
Khalil Mack's a beast. The rest of the defense is
from our resident expert, too.
I got a few things to say.
Oh, God, yeah.
First of all, I'd like to just start this off by saying there is no ban on performance-enhancing substances in this league, and I am currently on them. I caught a little poison ivy over the weekend, went to the doctor yesterday. He did prescribe me. Some steroids for that. I forget what it's called, but I'm taking it, and I'm taking it a lot.
Prednisone.
I am on the prednisone.
I did think your balls looked like raisins earlier.
3 pills a day, and I'm carrying that through the weekend. So I'm ready to roll.
Okay.
I'm ready to roll. And, John, you did pick up on a couple of things that I was kind of thinking about You know, am I worried about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Yes, because the Steelers' defense has been terrible. But I do have Mike Evans, so I'm just hoping that all those touchdowns, all those deep throws go to him. We'll see what happens there. I would like to say, obviously, I'm kind of in a desperate situation. You know, Le'Veon Bell, fuck you, all that kind of stuff.
That is tough.
I am currently playing, this week, I am playing three players that have 0 points this year. Carson Wentz, 0 points. Ooh. Marquise Goodwin, 0 points. Dan Bailey just picked up from from Minnesota, 0 points. So I'm rolling the dice here.
Now, that's a pretty good stat. I like
that. Well, you know, so, last week, obviously, Minnesota cost himself the game by missing three field goals, was it?
Yeah.
Makeable ones, too, especially that last one. So, you know, Dan Bailey, I know he got cut from the Cowboys last year. He's had some groin injuries or something like that. Minnesota wouldn't have picked him up if they had any concerns. And you look at that offense, again, they're playing Buffalo. It should be a high-scoring game for them. You know, they might have some mercy on them, say, you know what, instead of going for it here, we're just going to kick a field goal. And so I think there's a lot of points to be had there.
Jesus Christ, thanks for the breakdown on the kicker, Benjamin. That's why he's the commissioner, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants, including spending multiple minutes on the kicker position. Thank you, Benjamin.
Who's talking at the end of the week here.
Can we go back in time just for a split second?
Split second.
And talk about how Ben was talking a lot of trash about Le'Veon Bell over Todd Gurley.
Oh, God.
And
at the draft weekend.
At the draft.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think it speaks for itself. Benjamin, trade me Le'Veon. God damn it. Okay.
I will. Le'Veon for Melvin Gordon right now. One for one.
That's bullshit. Okay. Wait. Speaking of which, you offered me your entire goddamn team for my entire roster this week. And now I'm just like, oh my God, you're the Matthew Berry of our league. I fucking hate you. I just want to Kevin Nash boot you to the face right now. I want to fucking Ray Rice you to the chin. Or Ray Lewis you and murder you. Double murder, if I may. But let's go into what has... Oh, no, before we get into the Vendo Watch 2018, which is my favorite segment, and I think a league favorite, let's talk about the best and worst transactions of the week, waiver wire pickups. I don't think there were any trades. So
there's never any trades.
Well, yeah, because you offered stupid shit.
At least I offer.
Oh, my God, I'm going to hurt you. So, okay, starting on Wednesday the 19th, we've had some transactions. And real quick, my favorite that was not my own was actually Ethan's, was adding Buck Allen, Javorius Allen. I think that's a good pickup. You know, Ethan already has a lot of high scores, and I think Buck Allen is a potential breakout, especially if anything happens to what's-his-nuts, the starter there in Baltimore. So,
Collins.
Yeah, Collins. So I really like that ad, and I'll just throw it around to John.
Just comment on the ad. I feel like Ethan is just touchdown chasing there. That gets you in trouble.
Well, LaRon McClain scored 3 touchdowns a game in Baltimore from that same position.
Fair enough.
3 touchdowns a game. That's,
I forgot about LaRon McClain.
Yeah. I researched that. Yeah. Homeboy has an apostrophe in his name. How do you beat that?
I'm saying my favorite pickup this week is, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the dropping of one Duke Johnson Jr.
Oh, dear God.
Has he done anything this game? I don't think Duke Johnson's done
Duke Johnson anything. Has, he has one attempt for 8 yards, so pretty good average.
yeah.
Not a great game.
Right.
And no his ownership in ESPN is down 13% over the last week, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want a lot of stock in Browns in general.
Yeah.
Coming from a Jarvis Landry owner, but still.
Sure.
I would just like to say that this is obviously, I don't really have a favorite or a least favorite. This has just been the week of the kicker. You know, I'm all about the kickers today. You know,
yeah.
There were 3 kicker ads drops. I mentioned myself.
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
I picked up Dan Bailey, dropped Matt Prater from Detroit. I think it's kind of a wash, but again, I think Bailey's, as far as I know, the second most accurate kicker in NFL history. I'm not worried about his groinal region.
Mm-hmm.
I hear he's stacked. and then we had the DVD Ayers drop in Will Lutz. and picking up Harrison Butker from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And then I think there was one more.
Yeah, Robbie Gould. That's Clayton.
Clayton, yeah. Added Robbie Gould for his Browns and dropped Chris Boswell.
I think Clayton is feeling guilty about relying so much on Aaron Rodgers.
I believe so.
He picked up a former Bear, Robbie Gould, with a retarded kicking strategy or stance. So I think that's all that is. It's him trying to capture the magic of the Bears.
He does feel bad about watching his arch rival quarterback lead him to victory.
Yeah. And plus Jordan Howard, single-digit points last week.
Not good.
He's not a pass catcher. It's rough in PPR.
Yeah.
Kicker analysis. Give the people
what they
want.
Oh, my God. How are we not going viral? So, yeah, we should get sponsored by some foot-based company probably next week. Yeah.
Maybe Nike? I hear that they're picking up a lot of new spokesmen
here recently. Yeah, yeah. They're picking up a lot of people who annoy you is what I'm hearing. So, thank you for the late appreciation. So, the only thing we have left to do is get into the VendoWatch 2018.
Yay!
So, I think my look from last week, as much as it hurt me to do it, was to call out my good friend, my fellow Pitchers Division, the Grundle Gnashers, one of my favorite team names, by the way. But I had to call him out. I do think he's resting on his laurels like Rocky at the beginning of Rocky III. You know, he's doing these fights for charity. He's just resting on his laurels. He's not training that hard. The killer instinct is gone from his eyes. I really worry about this guy going from apparatus to Vendo. I really worry about it. That's my Vendo Watch 2018. I'm sticking with it. You know, he's got a tough matchup this week. I really think he's going to be looking at 1-2 in a tough division. And I'll send it around the horn to our commish here, Benjamin. 2018 Vendo Watch, who you got?
Yeah, so I think we've pretty much excluded Cozart and Brandon from the Vendo Watch.
Because those are too
obvious.
No, Cozart counts.
So like we've mentioned, you know, Cozart now has Hannah running the team for him. So I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that. I put John on last week. He came out strong, got a W. This week, you know, I think I'm actually going to take kind of a hot take here. And I'm going with John's opponent, Michael Curtis Haley. The Howie Fletcher snatches. Felt her snatches. I just don't really see a whole lot of potent offense here, you know. I mean, Leonard Fournette is now on the bench. Who knows when he's coming back? Next week, probably. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, I don't trust him. He's too handsy. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't trust him. He's too handsy as well. James Conner's going to be nothing when my boy Le'Veon comes back, hopefully soon. You know, I just don't really see a whole lot of long-term scoring potential there for Mike and the Felcher snatches.
Okay.
John, how about you?
Yeah, mispronunciations notwithstanding.
Did we decide that Cozart was fair game or no?
Oh, I think so. He's got to be.
Okay. Well, then fair, Cozart is my pick for sure.
He's active in the chat. I think that's the...
That's the requirement.
I think so.
David Johnson is going to be a disappointment all year long. I think LeSean McCoy is looking at a nagging injury. I like Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
Demaryius Thomas is okay.
Yeah.
He's getting shadowed in most of these games. And so they're just lining up Emmanuel Sanders instead.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Seferian Jenkins has never been good, never will be good.
Ooh.
Yeah, most of his bench is injured or irrelevant. This is just top to bottom, just not a good team. I think, barring some excellent pickups, even without that, this is going to be the Vendo. This is the Vendo.
I would just like to say this, though. Do we as a league feel comfortable with sending the Vendo home with Cozart,
knowing that he
has a history of living in hurricane-ridden areas. You know, last year at this time he was living in Naples, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Had to evacuate. This year, Charlotte, North Carolina, getting the flooding and all that kind of stuff. I personally don't think I would want to send that home with him. I'd be worried that it'd be washed away into the oblivion and never seen again.
Mm. But I mean, we send this thing to North Carolina. I think he's going to get tarred and feathered the first house party he has because I don't think he has the wherewithal to not display it proudly. I think it's going to be on the front porch if this thing makes it there. But yeah, I think, I mean, Tom was a good steward of it once. Corbin's been a good steward of it.
So far.
Yeah, but I think, I it's not that I'm saying no to this one. I'm not yes butting it. I'm yes anding it. But I think, this is a good, that's two straight bad Vendo Watch 2018 takes from our commissioner. That's what I'm taking it away from.
It's a long season.
So, Mike, I think things are looking up for you, based on that. Now, to take this out, this has been way too long, but to, take this out, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Really, we want to hear your thoughts on the trophy talk. We want to hear your thoughts on the Vendo Watch. I just want to leave you with this statistic. I did some deep dive, okay? I broke out a calculator to do this. I calculated the average score for each division, each team, each week. So, and what we are finding right now is that the pitching division averages 124 points per team per week. The catcher's division, a mere 116. Okay, that's like not even playing a tight end. Basically, so the catcher's division is just is down a man, and that's even with the pitchers pulling the weight of some really atrocious teams. I mean, it's basically Ethan and I scoring over 300 and pulling the weight of Ball Swagtropolis Cozart, who is somehow scoring fewer points than Brandon. So, I guess Brandon, I don't know. I guess now that, I mean, I forgot that he was a playoff guy last week or last year. So, I think we just have to realize that the pitcher's division is averaging more. It is the stronger division by a little bit, by a slight amount. And we'll see how that goes. I think I'm going to watch this every week as we go forward. So, thank you, John, for hosting the Week 3 pod with a Week 2 recap and everything else. And thank you, Kamish, for another great week of hot garbage takes. So, signing off. Thanks, guys. Let's see you in the chat.